Thank you. And thank you so much for having me here. This is so fun. Okay, so my story. The last summer before I graduated from college, my best friend and I decided that we were going to take this grand adventure and go up to Alaska. She and her husband had just bought a Volkswagen bus, and the three of us were going to drive up in it and spend the season there. They backed out. I still went. But little did I know it was going to start this sort of lifelong, intimate relationship that I have with this little tiny town in southeast Alaska called Skagway. Does anybody here know it? Okay. Love that place. So I spent the next decade of my life working up there every single summer. And what I want to talk about are the bears. So because everybody who goes to Alaska wants to see a bear. And there was this one summer in particular, I called it the summer of bear. I saw them all the time, which was unusual, actually, out of all of the summers there. But for some reason this year, they were everywhere. And a friend of mine had a bear break into her home. It must have picked the lock and made a mess of her kitchen. And I want you to try to imagine what a carton of eggs looks like that's been devoured by a bear. So it's not what you would think. The bear had just very gingerly poked a hole in the top of every single egg, and then, like, sucked the yolk out of every single one. So, and I was so fascinated by that. This animal that's so large and heavy can be so docile and agile and just dainty. And so, there was this pair of brown bears. Now, the Alaska brown bear is the same species as a grizzly bear. And, we call them brown bears when they're on the coast. And they tend to be larger than a grizzly because they have a lot more to eat. And so they were teenager bears. They were a pair of juvenile bears that were siblings, so they were still hanging out together. And it's funny to say that they weren't fully grown because they were so big. And it began to be like clockwork, that I could go out onto the tidal flats where the river came in and the salmon were running, and every evening the bears would be there, just these two. And they would be eating the fish. And if they weren't hungry, they would be playing with the fish. And I remember one time one of them walked right next to my car, and I swear that bear was as big as my car. And I will never forget that giant head just kind of swaying and those big shoulders, and really, though, it was just the size of those claws. So, and just how big they were. And all that was between us was a single pane of glass. And I knew if that bear wanted to get in there, there was nothing I was going to do about it. So a few years later, when I went back up vacation, I've done this a few times because I'm addicted to Alaska, but I had my husband and my oldest daughter. She was a year and a half years old, and we were staying in the little town of Haines in a cove called Paradise Cove, and it's aptly named, right on the water. And my daughter was in the habit of waking up in the middle of the night, screaming her head off, and seems to be a habit. It was in my intro, anyway. The only thing that would calm her down was just that cold Alaska air. So we went outside. I picked her up. I walked out, and as soon as that cold air hit her, she just calmed right down and snuggled in, and I started singing her a lullaby. And I was just floored at what I saw. So as you look out across the water, it's the Chilkoot Mountains there. There's a glacier, it's a hanging glacier, and there's this waterfall coming out. It looks like you're looking at a picture in National Geographic. And this mist had come in that night, and it settled over the water, and it was just complete glass. And I could still see the glacier, and it was just stunningly beautiful. And I thought, I'm going to remember this for the rest of my life. And I was looking out of the grass, and there it was in sort of that growing light. It's 1:30 in the morning, but it's Alaska. So there's this sort of unearthly light in the middle of the night, and I could see it. There was the bear out there. And so I'm watching it, and I kind of stopped singing, and I took a step back, but I didn't go anywhere. I just kept watching it. And I watched for a few moments. So now I want to just sort of fast forward. So 2 weeks later, when we're back in Utah and it's just crazy hot and we're miserable. I love Utah, but it's the heat just gets to me. So, I found out that I was pregnant with our second baby. So 14 weeks later after that, I found out that my baby wasn't going to make it. So I was told there was some sort of flaw. We didn't know really ever what caused it. It could have been a heart defect, it could have been something genetic. I was told she maybe had 1 week, maybe six left to live inside of the womb. I was told 0% chance of survival. And of course I thought that. I talked to the doctors about it over and over. Well, what if this, what if that, what if she can, you know, like make it full term? No, there's no way she's going to, and even if she did, there's no way she could live. So what it was called was cystic hygroma with severe fetal hydrops. So her lymph nodes weren't working, and she was taking on water and had severe edema, some cysts behind her neck. And eventually, like, the water would be filling up inside of her body until it drowned her, and her heart would stop beating. And the first question I asked was, is she in pain? And I was told, no, she doesn't have pain receptors yet. And so I said, okay, let's, I don't know, 1 to 6 weeks. We'll just see. And let her pass away on her own. So then became sort of the long journey of that. And they kept a close eye on me, a close eye on the baby, constantly going in and listening for that heartbeat. And we got to the 6 week mark, and that heart still wouldn't stop beating, and everyone couldn't believe she was still alive because her condition was so bad. And one morning I woke up and I just knew. I just said, she's telling me it's time. And I felt horrible. I knew it was time. And we had to make that difficult decision of inducing labor before her heart stopped beating. And so, there began the long road of grief. And what this has to do with the bears is this. So a few months go by, and there I am. Something triggered my memory. I hadn't thought about Paradise Cove in a long time. And something triggered it, and suddenly I went, like, I just remembered it. I remembered being there on the beach, watching the water and the glacier, and holding my oldest daughter, and rocking her to sleep and looking at that bear. And I thought to myself, that was the last time I was totally happy. And that was the last time I was completely at peace. Because it was before, right? Before I knew we were going to lose her, before I even knew I was pregnant. And so then I kept going back to that in my mind. I kept going back to that place again and again. Deep breaths. And the bear is a totemic animal. So it means, like, it's a pillar of strength when you're going through difficult times. And so let's go back there. I was back on the beach watching the bear, singing and getting my daughter to sleep, keeping an eye on it. And I went back inside, later back in bed, and I woke up my husband. I said, you gotta come see this bear out on the lawn. And so he came down the stairs and we looked through the windows. I said, see? And he couldn't see it. He just couldn't see the bear. And maybe it was gone. He went back to bed, but I went back outside. I wanted to stay out there all night long. I just couldn't give it up. And I went out, and I looked out at that water. I knew that out there were whales. There could be anything. And they're swimming under the surface. You can't see them. And they have those giant hearts that are just beating. And I was watching, and I could feel it. I was smelling the hemlocks and those sweet alders. And I kept turning around, looking behind me, a little nervous, because in Alaska, there is always a bear. And it's beautiful, but it's dangerous, and I could just feel it lurking there. Thank you.